I want to talk to you about something that's a simple concept, but I want to look at it from the angle of what God wants to do in our hearts and our lives. We've been going through this spiritual growth series. We're at the end of it, okay? And what I want to do is I want to kind of conclude the way I started. And you may, a few months ago, we started talking about why should I want to grow spiritually? And the very short version is simply this. When you do grow spiritually, you find out that God meets all of your needs. How many of you would love for God to do that? Well, that happens when you grow or as you grow. And you find out that you're changed into His image from glory to glory. You're changed into the image of God. And so that's why we want to grow, because we want to become more like Him. The more you become, the more I become like Him, the more we see God's glory in our life. So I want to talk to you today about the goal of spiritual maturity. You'll see in your bulletins, there's an outline if you'd like to follow along with. Let me say this too, that as we get ready to leave today, ushers will be at the doorway for our offering and that. But if you're here and you're our guest, we'd love to get to know you. You can fill out the side little paper there. If you're here today and you have a prayer request, something that we can be praying for you as a staff, fill that out and drop that in the offering plates as you leave here today. But there is an outline, and you'll see we're going to take a look today at 1 John chapter 1. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to kind of bounce between the two, and here's what I want to do. I want to talk about maturity, the stages that we grow in. We'll compare them to the way that we grow physically, as we all are aware of how that happens. But we're going to parallel that to how we're to grow spiritually. Let me give you the three stages that we're going to be going through. We're going to be going through and looking at the spiritual childhood, and then we'll look at the adolescence or the young person, and then we'll look at adulthood. So I'm kind of giving them to you up front. We'll go through them. But we'll briefly look at the stages of childhood and adolescence, but we're going to spend our time mainly in the adulthood arena. But we can't get right there without looking at the first two. You know, over the last couple decades, there's been a lot of, there's been a number of family and child development experts who have come forward. They've identified a problem, they've kind of labeled this problem, that seems to be unique to the Western culture. And it's a syndrome that's called the hurried child. I don't know if you've heard of this, but they call it the hurried child because it refers to the tendency sometimes for parents to want to have just such a fast-paced life that they rush their children through the childhood stages to hurry them along into the adulthood stages without learning the things that maybe they need to learn. It's a push for children to excel. Now, how many of you know that there's nothing wrong with pushing our children to excel? Is that right? Yeah, we want our children to grow. We want them to learn and become wiser. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's something wrong when it's not a push as much as it is a shove. You know what I mean? And you want them to grow so fast so that we can get through this and just hurry up onto adulthood for whatever reason. And they did some studies and looked at some different things and found that parents that push children through and do this hurried child syndrome, the things in life that are supposed to be fun, they're not fun any longer. They become hotbeds of competition with children feeling this great pressure to win or to be in first place. And they find that families have their schedules jam-packed with no time to relax as a family, no time to have fun, no time to fellowship or be intimate. We're going to use the word intimate today, and it's not just the word that we think of in the physical sense. It's about being close. It's about developing relationship with one another. And they said that when you hurry children through, you miss some of that. And as a matter of fact, they had some studies that showed there were some cases where they were seeing parents who were hurrying their kids through the stage and wanting them to grow because they didn't want to be bothered or they didn't want to be inconvenienced. And that can be a sad thing, but here's what they really learned as they did this study and they did this survey. They came to this conclusion, which you and I might go, well, we saw this coming. But they said, you cannot skip the stages of childhood development and expect someone to produce a mature, healthy adult. Does that make sense? I mean, I think we could go, okay. Yeah, I can wrap my head around that. Well, then let me ask you this. Have you ever seen anybody or found yourself trying to hurry through spiritually where you are at now, trying to get to this place of arriving, trying to skip all of these maybe stages that are in the middle? You know, I remember when I, I first gave my heart to Jesus. Sure, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in the church atmosphere. But it wasn't until I had a personal relationship with Jesus that it all became new. And I wanted to go from point A to point Z and skip all this garbage in the middle. I didn't want to have to go through all the struggles. I didn't want to have to go through all of the pressures and the figuring things out. I just wanted to arrive. But you see, it would be no different than going through the hurried child syndrome, you know, wanting to get to this place of adulthood without going through the stages of maturing. So I believe there's something that God wants us to see in this. And so today we're going to talk about the stages of spiritual maturity. And all I'm asking you to do is this. Would you just let your heart be open to hear the Holy Spirit? Let him show you where you're at. I'm not here to tell you where you're at. I don't know. I know where I'm at, and I can only be responsible for me. And you can only be responsible for you. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, let him show you where you're at, and then let him show you what the next step is so that you can grow in your relationship with Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, it says, "Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature." In other words, he's saying there's a process of discipleship. Do not be children in understanding. However, he says, in malice be babes. And he doesn't mean like, oh, babe, you know. No, he's not saying that. He's saying be infant thinking, be innocent in your thinking when it comes to malice. But in understanding, he says, be mature. There's a process. There's different levels he's showing us in the Bible. And so we can define spiritual maturity this way. I apologize, I made it kind of long for you today, but I was trying to just kind of word that out. And I said, we can define it as the ability to consistently view and live life from a perspective of the Spirit rather than the flesh, with the result that we maximize our God-given capacity so it brings him glory. So let me shorten that up. I know you're filling in the blanks, but the definition of spiritual maturity is this: to be consistent in your relationship with God, gaining his perspective so that you can have a relationship that gives him glory. It's about growing, and it's a process. How many of you know that growth is a process? Amen? You know that? Well, in the physical sense, we know that. Any baby, when I was first born, I wouldn't fit in the clothes that I fit in now. But I do now because I've grown, maybe a little too much, but I've grown. And we know babies grow. We know as they get older, they get taller, and they develop, they mature. It's a process. And let me say this, there's always going to be room for growth. Spiritually speaking, you and I, when we come to Jesus, we're young. We're at this stage in life where it's kind of an infant stage, and we grow. And you and I must develop through life. You know, we had the honor to raise two children, Seth and Drea. They're 22 and 19 now. So they're out of the house. They're on their own. And now they get to figure out what it means to become men and women and grow and what it means to mature. But when they were first born, they couldn't do for themselves the things that they needed to because they were at the infant stage. At the infant stage, they needed somebody to feed them. They needed somebody to house them. They needed somebody to clothe them. They needed somebody to change them. Why? Because they couldn't do for themselves the things that they needed because they were at an infant stage. And then came the adolescent stage. God help us all. Right? Anybody here raised teenagers? All right. Anybody here ever been a teenager? It's a trick question, so. Let me tell you something. The adolescent years are very challenging. I know because I was one, and I remember what I put my parents through, and I remember them saying things like, wait till you have your kids, and I'm like, whatever, and then I had my kids, and there's challenges. Well, is it all bad? No. It's all different. Every family's different. Every culture, environment, all those places are different, but they all have their challenges because they are going from the infant stage, seeking, desiring to become the adults that God created them to be, but this process they go through can be very challenging. So it can be spiritually. When we are young in Christ, as we want to become adults, we have to go through this process of transforming in order to grow. In other words, I'm not going to give my infant kids the keys to the car and have the privilege that an adult gets until they grow, until they learn, until they pass a few tests, until they prove themselves. and then maybe we'll give you the keys and we'll check it out and see how it goes. See, there's a process that goes on in there. Now, in the book of 1 John, I'm going to read this to you, and then I'm going to explain it. Because when I first read it, I read it, and I'm like, I don't get it. But then I reread it, and what I heard was this. I'm going to tell you what I heard first, and then I'll read it to you. What I heard was John speaking to the people. The people were asking, how can we know? How can we know that we're hearing God, or that we have an intimate relationship, or that we're just hearing God the way that you hear him? Because you hung out with him. You were there with Jesus. But you and I were not. How can we know that we're hearing God and that we're growing? And here's what John said. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, he says, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if you're like me, when I read that, I'm like, that didn't help. I didn't understand. But what I started to understand was John was saying when he says that we may have fellowship with one another the same way that Jesus had with him. We would say, since Jesus isn't here physically as he was with you, how can we get to know him as intimately as you knew him? We could ask that question. You see, we're not missing anything because Jesus is gone. Sometimes we think, well, the disciples had it made. I mean, they got to walk with Jesus, talk with Jesus, hang with Jesus. I mean, if they had a problem, all they had to do was look at Jesus and let him answer, right? It's like Siri, you know, hey, Jesus, you know, and he'd be like, yes. You know, it's like having him in your home like that. Well, guess what? He is, but not physically. I would argue this. People would say, I wish it was like back in the day when Jesus was here with us. Well, I don't, because Jesus could only help so many people. But because Jesus left and sent us his Holy Spirit, now he can be there for each and every one of us all the time, right? So he's saying, you can get to know him intimately because of the fellowship, because of the Holy Spirit that came. You can now have fellowship with the Father. You can grow in your walk with Christ like you've never grown before, but you have to walk through these stages. Let me give them to you. The first one is this, spiritual childhood. That's where it starts. 1 John 2:12 says this. He says, I write to you, and then he puts the words in there, little children. Now, he's putting that specific, he's not talking about little kids, five-year-olds. He's talking about people in their walk with Christ, infants, new to the Lord. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So the Greek term for little children basically refers to the word that we know as toddlers. Toddlers. Baby Christians, by the way, as we've said already, they're dependent upon others. Baby Christians, same way. Just like a newborn baby is dependent upon the parents, newborn Christians have a dependency upon others. They need someone to feed them. They need someone to help them make their way along in this spiritual journey. A baby or a young child can't function on their own. And baby Christians don't know how to live life yet because they haven't been alive in Christ long enough to know how to live, right? I mean, think about it. Who's going to go to an 8-year-old and ask for financial, you know, wisdom and insight? Nobody. Why? Because they have not had that experience. As young Christians, as baby Christians, if that's where you identify yourself at in life, you have to have others that come alongside and help you in this journey, help you in this walk, so that you can develop and so that you can grow. But spiritual infancy is also marked by instability. Think about it. Little babies, when you get them to walk, you don't just set them down and they take off. Now, when they learn to walk, they do that, right? They get their hands into everything and they start touching and grabbing everything, and that's why we call it baby-proofing the house, right? But when the babies are learning to walk, they do the one foot and they're wobbly. They're all over the place because they're learning what it means to walk. A lot of times in our walk with Christ, we can feel the same way. But that's just a part of the process. That's where we begin in the spiritual childhood state. But then it leads into the next stage, which is, number two is this, you become a spiritual young person, adolescent, teenager, let's say. And as I've said before, in 1 John chapter 2, part of verse 13, John says, I write to you, and he writes in there, young men. Specifically, he says, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one, or some translations say the evil one. Now, this is a complicating factor at work in this stage in our spiritual development, because if you've ever had teenagers, you know that people in this stage of life, it can be a bumpy ride. It can be challenging. When I was a teenager, there's a stage in this right here that shows up both in the physical realm as well as the spiritual. And I'll call it the know-it-all syndrome. You know what I'm talking about? When the teenager knows everything. You know nothing. Because you're just the dumb parent who doesn't understand, right? But you know, because you've lived longer, that you thought the same thing they thought when you were a teenager. So you just keep your trap shut, usually, because you know sooner or later it's going to come around and bite them too, just like it bit you. I still remember the day when my dad, I don't even know what it was, but he knew something. I'm like, you don't know nothing. And then one day, whatever it was we were talking about, I'm like, oh my gosh, he was right. I can never let him know this. This is an early Father's Day gift, okay? But I remembered that because I went through that stage, that know-it-all stage. It didn't matter what it was. I knew everything, even though I knew nothing. Did I confuse you there? My mom would be like, you know, you got to pick up your room. I know. And you can't just say, I know. You got to say it with a twang, right? That just kind of, I know. Well, you know, you got to get the dishes done. I know. You got to take the garbage out. I know. Well, you're not going anywhere until you get there. I know. And, you know, it's just, we know everything. But if we know these things, why don't we do them? Why don't we do them? I used to always argue with my mom. She's like, you need to take care of this. I know I was going to do it until you said something. Now I don't want to. You know, we get this attitude. But it's the same thing that can happen in our walk with Christ. He'll say, you know, you need to forgive that person. I know. Well, you know, if you really want to grow, you need to feed yourself a little more. I know. Well, you get involved and get connected to church. I know. Well, if you know all this stuff, why aren't you doing it? Well, I was going to do it until you started pointing it out, God. Now I don't want to do it because I got an attitude. Now, we wouldn't say those words, but it's kind of how we think and feel at times. See, this is what happens in this stage. Are we doing okay, by the way? Okay, y'all are looking at me like, uh-oh. Because there's times when God will tell us to do things and we don't want to do them, not because they don't need to be done, but because we're just irritated or we want to do things on our timetable. Or we want to, here's the scary part, we want to be in control. But you see, it's when we go from the infant stage heading towards adulthood, we learn that we're not in control. God is. And he's looking for us to just simply obey. That's what he wants more than anything else. So I went through this whole I know it all syndrome, and then I experienced it when we raised kids because they knew everything. And one day they will experience it because it's part of life. But you see, spiritually speaking, God is getting us to a place of transferring what we know and what we think and what we feel to a place where we start saying, God, what is it that you know? And what is it that you think? What is it that you feel? What is it that you have to say? And when you do that, you're well on your way to maturing in your walk with Christ, which leads you then to number three. Write this down, and here's where we're going to spend a little bit of time. A spiritually mature adult. This is the goal that God is. We've talked over the last number of months about what does spiritual growth look like. You remember, we talked about new nature, we talked about prayer, giving, getting connected, we talked about many different aspects. All of it culminates into this idea of coming or in the process of becoming spiritually mature and arriving at this mature adult or adulthood, if we just want to say it that way. The objective of spiritual growth is to reach the level of maturity that John in the text was studying, and he referred to it as being a father. I'm going to read it to you. It's 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. But know this, when he says the word father, he's not just talking about male or female. What he's talking about is, he said, I speak to you little children. I speak to you young men. I speak to you fathers. He's using the point to illustrate. When he says father, ladies, that's for you too, okay? He's not being sexist here or anything like that, but for his to get the point across, he's saying, I'm calling you as you go into adulthood. He said, I write to you fathers, spiritual adults, those that are mature or processing that maturity level. Because you have known him who is from the beginning. He calls them fathers. Why? Because you have known him. That's key right there. What does it mean to be spiritually mature? I would suggest to you that that this. You know that you are well on your way to becoming more mature in your walk or becoming a spiritually mature adult when you know the Father, and more importantly, that you are known by Him. You are known, and that God knows your name. Now know this, it's not like He forgot or doesn't know. He knows, but I'm talking about relationship. I told you I was going to bring up the word intimate later. He says, you know you're well on your way to becoming a more mature Christian when you have a more intimate relationship with Christ, a closer relationship with Christ, the kind where you're leaning into Him and there's something being cultivated in your life on a whole new level. I write to you, fathers, spiritual adults, spiritually maturing adults, because you have known Him from the beginning. What makes you a spiritual adult or a mature Christian is very simple yet profound. You know God and you're known by Him. The mature believer knows God in depths of intimacy that has been developing not just over the weekend, but it's been developing over time. It's a process. Now, I've shared with you before how much I love pot roast, one of my favorite meals, okay? And one of the reasons I love it is not just because it tastes good, but because of the whole process. When I was young growing up, I would go home every Sunday afternoon with Grandma Idy. She was a adopted grandma in my life. And I'd go home, and one of the things I'll always have you ever had like certain songs, sounds, smells that trigger memories from when you were a little kid? You know what I'm talking about? Well, one of them for me is just that smell of pot roast cooking all day long. And it takes me back to when I'm 7 years old and I'm going to their house. Because we would go home on Sunday afternoons. They do two services. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention to the pastor at that time because I was a young kid. But when church was over, we'd get in the car and we'd head home. So I don't know if we left first or second or which it was. That's my point. And we go to their house and we pull in the driveway. And from the moment I opened the car door, I could smell the pot roast in the driveway. I could smell her home cooking. Now, that didn't happen in the last 10 minutes that we had been at the house. That happened because somebody got up early in the morning or maybe the night before and peeled potatoes, peeled the carrots, seasoned the meat, got it together, put it in the oven, set it at a certain temperature, let it cook for an extended period of time while they were here at church, and it permeated, filled the whole house. You weren't just taking in a meal that tasted good. You were taking it in an experience. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you have those childhood memories, things like that, and they just trigger that. You don't appreciate it as much for what it is when you're the kid, but when you get older and that memory gets triggered or whatever, you're like, oh, if I could go back to that. Oh, gosh, I just remember being, you know, in that place in my life, how great it was. And here's my point. I'm not trying to parallel spiritual maturity with pot roast, but what I'm trying to do is parallel that there's a process. You don't get from A to Z without going through all the other letters in the alphabet, right? Or at least you shouldn't. You won't make it very far. It's a process that you experience in your life. If you want to arrive at spiritual maturity that triggers memories, happy memories, you're not going to be perfect at this, by the way. Is anyone here perfect? Absolutely not. Do we all know everything all the time? No, that's the adolescent stage. That's the know-it-all stage, right? But we come to a place where we start to grow and we start to mature in our walk with Christ because of the process that we allow God to develop within our hearts and within our lives. The mature believer understands that this is a process that will happen over time. In the context of 1 John chapter 2 that we're kind of looking at here, is when John is writing this and he's talking to you and to me, he's not doing it because he wants to argue with us. It's not a theological argument that God has going on. He's talking about a personal experience of growth. He's talking to you and to me about what it means to grow. And he says, to you little children, to you young men, to you adults, or to you fathers. And he's saying there's a process. And the goal is that wherever you find yourself on that spectrum, the goal is to always to mature into this spiritually mature adult that is not perfect, but is in a perfecting process. So he says it's about personal growth. A mature Christian has come to know God over time. He's come to know God over time through the growth process. And not only through the growth process, by the way, but he's come to know God through the scars as well, to the scars that you've experienced in life. I'm sure if I asked today, you all could share some scars you have in your life, some past hurts. Lisa and I have shared with you over the last couple years from our experiences and from our scars. God has a way of taking a scar and turning it into a beauty mark. He has a way of taking something that you thought was negative and somehow he makes it a positive. He has a way of taking something that seems sour and makes it sweet. And that's the great thing about God. He can only do that when we are cooperating with the growth process. Will you face challenges? Oh, you bet you will. You're going to face them. But that's when you realize greater is he that's within me than anything else that I face in this world. You've got the greatest thing inside of you. The greatest thing that will kill your growth is that if you lack the desire. If you lack the desire to want to grow. I don't know if I want to do that. That could be a lot of work. That just takes you right back to the infant stage. And we don't tend to grow. A mature Christian comes to know God over time. And comes to know God through the process of the scars that they've obtained through spiritual battles that you've gone through. I know some of you have an amazing testimony of what God's taken you through. You got through that and grew through that. You've matured through that, and you are more mature now than you ever have been. Can we stop and just stay here and relax? No, you can't. You got to keep growing. But you become stronger and stronger. A mature believer still needs to grow in Christ-likeness. They still need to do that because that's a lifetime job. You and I are to grow continually, and there are still battles that you and I will face. There's still going to be battles that we'll face, but we will win those because Jesus gives us the victory. Amen? He gives us the victory, and you got to remind yourself of that because sometimes we would rather quit and give up because we're just tired of the battles. They're still there, but he says, I've given you the victory. That's a part of our process. We could say that the mature Christian has a personal testimony of God's faithfulness and goodness, of what he's done for you, how you've seen him bring you through life. Here's what usually happens, if I can just chase a rabbit for a minute. A lot of times, we say we want to grow, but we spend more of our life complaining about what we don't have rather than thanking God for what we do have. We spend more time saying, I wish, I dream, I desire. And there's nothing wrong with wishing, dreaming, or desiring. I'm not throwing rocks at that. But if that's what you fix your eyes on and that's it, you never get on to the things that God has for that he's already given you. You know, it'd be easy for me to say what God hasn't given me, and I forget to look at the things that God has. He restored my marriage. He allowed me to still function in the avenue of ministry. He's given me a voice. There's so many things I can be thankful for. But if you get focused on the wrong thing, it spirals you downward. And that's why intimacy, closeness with God is so important, because the moment you start to deviate from him, he'll go, hey, where are you going? Just like with your kids. Remember when they're young, you take them to the store? You start with like gluing them to your leg, right? Because you don't want them to wander when they can walk. And then you got to hold their hand. Nothing irritates a kid. I'm going from memory here, but maybe a few of you moms could see if it's still true. Nothing irritates a little kid more than when you go to a store and you say, you have to hold my hand. Do they want to hold your hand through the store the whole time? No. They're like, mommy, let me go. No, why? Because you'll run off. And you know that. And if they do, if you start giving them a little space and they start to take off, you'll say, hey, get back over here. And because you care about them. It's the same thing. When we start to deviate from God, if we will stay close to God, the moment we start to deviate, he says, no, stay close to me. Lean into me. And watch that no matter what you face, no matter what you go through, I will be able to speak to you because, excuse me, that's a part of the maturing process. If you're mature in your faith, you'll find this to be true. You won't have to listen to other people tell you how good God is because you'll already know it. You won't need other people in your life to tell you that your God is faithful because you're already experiencing that. You know that. Not know it here, but know it here. You know it experientially. You know it because you are a moving target. You're moving forward. You're growing. A challenge comes your way. My God's going to be faithful. How do I know this? Because he was faithful with that one. He was faithful with that one. He was faithful with that one. He'll be faithful with this one too. And you keep moving forward. So the description of a mature Christian that I've just kind of talked about raises a question. How do we know when we know God? How do we know that we know him? How do we know that we know that we know in an intimate way? How can we be sure of that? Well, the short answer is that your spirit is able to commune with God on such a deep level that you pick up on signals that other folks miss. Now, I'm going to repeat that because it's kind of like, what? You will know that you know that you know because when you become a mature Christian, you start hearing the Holy Spirit. When other people that aren't seeking God the way you are, they miss. They don't hear. God says, I will develop within your life because of his Holy Spirit, because Jesus left. Remember earlier I said I would argue with you that it was good that Jesus left because he sent his Holy Spirit. So why? So that when, as we become mature, he can speak to us and lead us when we face difficult things in life. Your spirit is the deepest part of your being, and it gives you the ability to connect with God. When you and I accepted Jesus Christ into our life, when we said yes to Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, what happened is instantaneously your human spirit and the Holy Spirit came into union. That's what happened, because you invited his presence there. And this union can be compared to, let's say, a marriage that, have you ever seen anybody that's been married for like 30 plus years? I mean, they just, when you look at them, they just, they get along so well. The kind of marriage where when you watch them, it's like one person can finish the other person's sentences. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know anybody like that? Somebody that when you look at them, you can tell a conversation just happened, but nobody spoke any words just because of the looks that they gave to one another, whether it was good or bad. Yes, we've had... Anyway, move along. He says, when your Holy Spirit, when his Holy Spirit and your spirit come into union and you start the maturing process, he says, because of my Holy Spirit that's present in your life, you have an advantage that other people will not have. And that is the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, who wants to show you things that others won't see, wants to tell you things that others won't hear, wants to bring things to your attention that others will never bring up on their own because of the Holy Spirit inside of you. For me, it was when I was growing up, there was a couple in the church. Their names were Lauren and Julia Stevenson. I don't know if anyone remembers them, but we're going back to when I was a kid. So just hang with me a minute. When I was a kid, I would watch them. They were the old people in church, okay? And I don't mean that in a rude way. Just when you were a kid, you know, you're like, you know, they're my mom and dad's friend. And, you know, I guess I just nicely called my dad old, but sorry about that. And I would watch Lauren and Julia. And they just had fun together. They enjoyed being in each other's presence. He could walk in a room and she could look at him and she didn't say a word, but he'd look back with a look and they'd start giggling and he'd be like, did I miss something? Which I did, because I'm not in that relationship. That was theirs. But they had that going on because of the intimacy that was there, because of the closeness that was there. Now, does that mean they had the perfect relationship? No, I'm sure they had disagreements and arguments. I'm sure they maybe fought about a few things. I never saw it. But what I did see and what I can give testimony to is of their relationship, the level of intimacy that was there, that me, even as a young kid, could look at them and go, that's pretty weird and cool at the same time. How do you guys do that? Now, I never asked them that, but as I grew up, I learned over time, it's because of the intimacy that was there. Lisa and I have been married 30 years now, and I look at her sometimes, I've told you this before, and I don't have to ask what she's thinking. I know. And that can mean many different things. How do I know without her saying that? Because I've been married to her for 30 years. I can tell. I told you a few weeks ago, there's times when I can just tell by nonverbal cues. If I start to tell an illustration I haven't approved past my wife, I can look over at her. And if she's grinning or laughing or something like that, I'll move forward. If her eyes are bulging, I kill that illustration as fast as I can, and I move on. Because the Holy Spirit said, if you want to live today, shut your trap and move on. How can we do that? Because of the intimacy that was there. Again, the world's going to take that word intimacy and go, ooh, intimacy. That's the world's definition. And that's a part of it. But that physical part is just a celebration of something that's greater. And it's the relationship that's there. That happens between He says, that's the kind of relationship I want to have with you. If you're here today and you desire to become a mature Christian and come to this place of becoming spiritually mature, what he's asking you to do is to get to that place of that kind of an intimate level. Not intimate like, oh, kind of giggle, giggle. Yeah, intimate like, Lord, here's where I'm at. Lord, I know what your word says. Here, you'll do this. You'll come and you'll say, Lord, here's what I want, and here's what your word says. You better help me out because I'm stuck right now. And this is where I'm at. This is the reality. Jesus, I want to do this, but you said not to. And I'm really, really wanting to do this. So because I want to please you. Lord, I need you to intervene. Lord, I need you to step in. And you know what? He will. He will show up and he will reveal to you. Here's what he'll do. Mature Christians start to see things the human eye can't see. Not in like, you know, oh, you know, like weird things, psychedelic? No. He'll reveal things to you. You'll start to hear things that others don't hear because he's speaking to you from his Holy Spirit. You will have thoughts that did not originate from your own mind, but God will have placed them there because you have a close relationship with him. The promise to a person who is listening to the Spirit is this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. He said, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Do you want to know the things that have been freely given to you by God? Do you want him to reveal those to you? He says, I will do that the more that you draw near to me. As you lean into me, I will reveal those to you. It has to do, though, with an intimacy of a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're going to church, if you're praying, if you're reading your Bible, but you're not getting close to God, you will not see, you will not hear, you will not experience the things he wants to reveal like he does in an intimate relationship. What I'm talking about here is the kind of spiritual intimacy and maturity level that allows you to hear God speaking directly to you through his word. It's the kind of intimacy that when a preacher's preaching and he maybe makes a side note and says something, the Holy Spirit can take that and let it be something that's a key that unlocks a door for you because you heard him, not just the preacher. That's what it's all about. As a matter of fact, I put a little bullet in your outline. Write this down. Our growth is a process, and the evidence of that growth will show up in our intimacy with God. It'll show up in our intimacy with God. Now, I'm not trying to get weird here, but let me use this illustration. When it comes to a husband and wife in the physical relationship, when it comes to having children, the last time I checked, I think I got a B or a C in biology, but the last time I checked, you cannot become a father without being intimate with somebody. Is that still true? Well, I think so. You cannot be legitimately a father without becoming intimate with someone. You don't stand at a distance across the room and say, I desire to be a parent. You draw close. You don't wish upon a star to be a parent. You draw close. And when intimacy occurs, a new life is created that soon will become evident in the womb of the mother. That when the mother gives birth, there will be the DNA, and there will be the image that's passed on to the child from the parent because of the new life that's now come forth. You see, that all came out of intimacy. Again, not trying to be weird, but Jesus says, there's something I want to birth inside of you. There's a new thing I want to do in your life, and it's going to require you to get close to me. He's not saying, don't get weird. Don't think like the world thinks. Think like let my Holy Spirit speak to you and show you that I want to birth something new in your life. And if you will draw close to me, then you will see that out of that closeness and out of that intimacy, there's things I want to birth in your life. There's things I want to do. If you are spiritually mature, then you will have spiritual children. Does that sound fair enough? If you become spiritually mature, you know that you've become spiritually mature because you are having spiritual children. What do you mean by that? It means you're mentoring, you're passing on to the next generation, you're helping out, you're leading, you're teaching, you're getting involved, you're passing on that generation and cultivating and developing more spiritual children. That's the evidence of our intimacy with God. I love Philip in the Bible. Philip, when he was at the table with Jesus and all the other disciples, and they were getting ready to have the Last Supper there. Philip says to Jesus in John chapter 14, Lord, he said, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus was like, Are you serious, Philip? He says in the Bible, he says, have I been with you so long and yet you don't know me, Philip? In other words, he was saying this. He goes, I can just see Jesus with his fork. And Philip makes that comment. He drops his fork. Are you serious, Philip? Have we been hanging out this whole time and you still don't understand that I am the Father and the Father is me and the Holy Spirit, the three? Have you missed completely what it means to draw close to me and experience that deep, intimate, close relationship? I'm getting ready to go, man. How is it that you've missed this? You see, if you want to know God, then everything you do must have intimacy as its driving goal. Does that mean you have to constantly be spiritual, constantly be religious? Well, I hope not, because I'm not. But I do desire a close relationship with God. Am I always close with Him? No, I drift from time to time, just like everybody else. But when I drift, I recognize it. Do you? Can you tell when you've been away from the presence of God? How it affects your attitude, how it affects how you think about others, how you feel about yourself. And all of a sudden, you have to draw that back in. It's about becoming close to Him. You see, to get to adulthood, you have to go through these different stages. Childhood, you have to go through the adolescence. But the goal is always to arrive at being a spiritually mature adult. The formula for spiritual growth is not one that is you're going to find in a book. It's just something I made up. I said this. Rate multiplied by time equals distance. What I mean by that is this. The diligence with which you use your time to pursue God will determine the speed at which you arrive at that destination of maturity. In other words, do you want to arrive at maturity sooner? Then what are you doing to feed yourself spiritually? Are you seeking Him? Are you seeking that intimate relationship with God? Or are you just waiting until you get in trouble so you can pull out that prayer card? I've done that. It works. God's faithful. That's not what He wants. He doesn't want a Happy Meal. He wants a pot roast. He doesn't want something quick and cheap. He wants something that over the course of time, you've cultivated and developed that intimate relationship with Him. Let me close with this. Prior to the digital camera, nowadays we take a picture. We just pull out our phone, and I got your picture, right? I can send it to the cloud. You can send it to different units, devices, all that stuff. But back in the day, before all of this fancy pants technology, if you wanted to take a picture, if you wanted to get some pictures developed, you had to take the picture, use up the roll of film, drive it to Jewel or Osco or whatever film developer, and they would take those photos, the negatives, they would develop them. And develop them into a picture that you could have so you could keep and scrapbook a memory. It's amazing what we can do now. I shared first service, I said, my friend, do you remember the instant camera, Kodak instant camera? You know, before you had cameras that you had to go up there and you click and then you have to wind that little wheel. Then they came out with an instant camera. Well, did you know that if you took those cameras and turned them backwards, they became binoculars? Well, you want to know how I learned this? We were teenagers. You got to remember this, okay? We were teenagers, and we were on vacation at Panama City Beach in Florida. And I was with my friend Brian Dierks, and we decided there was a couple good-looking girls, and we were checking them out. And he says, let's take a picture. And I said, okay. And so I got my camera out. We walked by these girls, and I walked by one, and I went, and she never knew it. But Brian had a new instant camera and didn't know it was going to make all this racket. And he walked by and hit his button, and the picture shoots out. 13 people look at him, and I kept on walking like I didn't know who he was. We got back from vacation, and I never let him forget that. I think I took a picture of him, red face and all. But we took that camera, we took the film, we had to get it developed. And it's when they took those pictures and turned the negatives into something positive. You know, that's the same process of spiritual growth. When we came to Christ, we handed over the negatives of our life to God, and God took those. And He let them become something that was positive because He's the supreme developer in our life. And He took those negatives into a special lab of grace. His grace, His mercy, it's fresh and new every morning. And He took those negatives and turned them into something beautiful, marvelous pictures that you and I get to have as memories in our life only because of the grace of God. And as we continue on our spiritual journey, as we continue to grow and walk with Christ, He says, I want to give you an album of grace. I want to take the hurts and the pains, and I want you to allow them to become, though they may seem negative to you, let me turn them into something positive. That only happens as we walk in an intimate, close relationship with Christ. That's the benefit you get from having a father that walks with you. He's not just going to give you anything you want whenever you want it. He says, you walk close with me. He said, I can turn negatives into positives. I can take pain and I can allow it to become something that becomes joy. But that's only when you walk close with him. That's the benefit that we get. See, like the digital photograph, the process is completed today, now, instantaneously. You know, it can just happen. That's how salvation works. You ask Jesus to come into your heart, it's done. Spiritual growth, it's a process. And he'll lead you through that. But we must trust in him. And as we look to the end of where he's leading us, keep this in mind. He desires nothing more than simply to have us in his presence. He just wants to be with us. And he wants to see us grow in relationship with him. He loves us with an everlasting love. And my challenge to you today is simply this. Where do you find yourself in your level of growth, if I can say it that way? Where do you find yourself in the level of maturity? And where will you allow the Lord to take you in the next stages of life? Will you pray with me? Father, I pray today that no matter what stage we're at in our life, that, Lord, you would speak to us and show us what you have for us. Lord, we've talked about your grace and your mercies that are fresh and new every morning. Lord, I pray today for those of us that need that grace and we need that mercy, that, Lord, that you would come and that you would give that to us, that we would receive that in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that no matter where we are in life, whatever pains we're going through, whatever heartaches we experience, that when we look at it, we don't see what's wrong, but we see what's right. Jesus, give us your eyes. Lord, give us your ears. And give us an understanding to know when your Holy Spirit is present in our lives. Because, Lord, we desire nothing less than to grow in our walk with you and become more like you. So, Jesus, we receive that today. We thank you for this and ask it all in your name. Amen, church.